again. It's very, very dangerous to have a white person joining a black struggle, because it's very easy for the system to justify that it's just some bunch of radical blacks who've got nothing to do in their life other than bothering, you know, lovely middle class white people. You know, they don't even go to schools, you know. And here you have somebody like yourself, you know. It reminds me of George Hauser and the difficulties he used to go through.
Yeah, well, this government definitely has, you know, embarked on intimidation against people, white people that come around MOVE. I mean, they have, you know, it's even since I've been here, you know, with the MOVE organization, I've seen examples of this government's intimidation. They came to my job.
Right.
You know, the cops came to my job. To intimidate me, you know, at my workplace. And this is, you know, before anybody at where I worked really even knew that I was in MOVE, you know. So, like you were saying, like, it's dangerous when people feel like, you know, their jobs are threatened.
Yes.
Their very livelihoods are threatened by even associating with an organization like MOVE, you know. And all I can say about, you know, when they came to my job is, I gave them a piece of my mind, you know. I gave them straight up, you know, MOVE law, MOVE information about the difference between right and wrong. Because they're trying to say, well, you know, why are you hanging around with MOVE? They're murderers. And I said, no, this government's the murderer. I said, your reference is murder. That's why you carry a gun every day.
Yes.
That's your reference, is to kill, you know. If you want to look at it at an example of murderousness, look at the example of this United States government. Sending people overseas to murder innocent men, women, and children. Yeah. Calling it collateral damage. Playing it off like it's some insignificant coincidence of war. That they just slaughter elderly people in their homes. Drop bombs on people that have absolutely nothing to do with any kind of armed confrontation. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, that's an example of murder. That's an example of violent mentality. Not the MOVE organization. Mm-hmm. MOVE has very plainly and clearly stated to people all over the world that MOVE don't believe in violence. MOVE doesn't believe in killing. MOVE believes in self-defense, to protect yourself from violence.
Right.
Okay? And when the cops heard this, I mean, there was a number of younger cops that were there, you know, plainclothes officers.
Yes, yes.
And these guys straight up looked like Navy SEALs. You know, they looked like they had just come right out of the clandestine organizations that they send off to Pakistan and Afghanistan. They didn't want to come anywhere near me. They stayed at a safe distance from me because the cops that I was talking to, when they heard that information, you could tell they were starting to get very uncomfortable. You know, I asked them, well, why do you go along with the United States government? You know, if you're talking about murder is wrong, why do you work for them? Because they don't care about you. In a second, they'll send you out to the front line to take a bullet so that their rich children don't have to take bullets. You know, I'm saying you're protecting their interests. You're the cannon fodder for their war. You know, and these guys were going crazy when they heard that information. It came straight from, you know, MOVE guidelines, from John Africa's guidelines. And I'm saying I've never had any trouble with the police since then. You know, ever since I laid that on them, they haven't bothered me much at all, personally. That's not to say they haven't tried to intimidate other white MOVE supporters.
Now, talking about the civil rights movement and black history, to which extent the ex-members of the civil rights movement involve in or support of MOVE? Like, for example, if I'm Jesse Jackson, Joseph Larry, Atlanta, Minister Larry, and others, maybe Andrew Yang, who was an ambassador to United Nations.
Yeah.
As a black, I mean, he's not anywhere in the government now.
Right.
It was under Jimmy Carter that time. What's there?
Well, Jesse Jackson, for one, will say verbally, you know, he supports MOVE. He will, you know, verbally say that, you know, what has happened to us is wrong. He will say that, but that's as far as it goes. That is as far as it goes. He's not going to really step up and take a strong stand in defense of MOVE and call for the release of our family members that are unjustly imprisoned or anything like that. Andrew Young, as you said, he was an ambassador under Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
And at that time, in the early 70s, MOVE was being attacked by police and you know, a target of the system. And the MOVE organization at that time wrote Andrew Young specifically about what was going on. And he did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. See, the MOVE organization takes uncompromising stands. You know, we don't sit on the fence. You know, we are direct. And a lot of people have a problem with that. You know, they believe in this compromise. Well, you know, you have a point there, but sometimes, you know, you have to give.
Sometimes you don't have a point, too.
Yeah, you know. And MOVE, we don't believe in compromise. We're not saying that we are just arrogant and we won't talk and try to resolve things. We're not saying that at all. But when something is right, we're not compromising it. And people have been trained to do just that. So a lot of people have a problem with MOVE. You have people like former Black Panthers, like
yes.
Bobby Rush
yes.
in Chicago.
Chicago.
I mean, this is a man who, when officials in Congress introduced a bill to have Assata Shakur extradited from Cuba, he signed it. He voted for it. You know, this is a man who is a former Black Panther. And when confronted about it, the only thing he could say is some ridiculous nonsense about he didn't realize what he was signing. He didn't realize that Joanne Chesimard was Assata Shakur. And this is the mentality of people who, you know, once put themselves out there as, you know, radical revolutionary freedom.
They sold out, you think?
Huh?
They sold out, for example?
Yes, indeed, you know? They have. Yes, they have, you know, and it's really sad. But those kinds of people in particular really resent MOVE and don't want anything to do with MOVE because we're a reminder. We're a reminder to them of what they 70s. Used to stand for and what they should be doing and what they sold out. So they really don't want anything
with
to do with MOVE.
Mm. But what about Jackson's son who... became a congressman in District 11, Chicago.
He will give lip service. Mm-hmm. He will, you know, say certain things about MUMIA or MOVE. But in terms of really doing anything, taking any kind of strong stance, no. No.
Mm. I mean, a lot of people will pay lip service to supporting
yeah.
MOVE.
Yeah.
And even more will pay lip service to supporting MUMIA, you know. Mm. But at the end of the day, these people know that the more influence you have in politics, in the mainstream American, you know, culture, the more of a threat the system will consider you if you speak out on real issues like what's happening with the MOVE 9. And see, again, it's an example of the intimidation of this United States government, the system as a whole, you know, because people shouldn't feel afraid to speak out. They shouldn't feel like they have to sell out, you know. But this system doesn't give them any choice. They wanted other things, you know. They wanted money. They wanted a career or whatnot.
Yeah.
They wanted personal notoriety.
The government treats them just like they treat certain rap artists, you know. A lot of rap artists start out with strong revolutionary information in their, you know, songs and their raps. And after a while, if they get popular and a record label wants to sign them, you know, they're still doing strong revolutionary music.
Right.
But then at a certain point, they are told basically, well, you know, if you want to sell records, if you want to keep being promoted, you're going to have to tone it down a little bit and start, you know, putting out these kinds of raps that say absolutely nothing. And because these people have gotten used to having that money now, living a certain lifestyle, they begin like to compromise. And that's what happens to a lot of these politicians who, you know, say they used to be radical or revolutionary, you know. They may go into those offices feeling like, you know, well, I'll be able to do certain things in this position and, you know, I'll be able to help this way. Once they get in there, they see pretty quickly that they can't do what they thought they would be able to do in those positions. Virtually everything that we're talking about
yes,
right
still.
Here in England, you know, in Germany, in France, in Africa, you know, all over the world. All over the world. I mean, Nelson Mandela didn't live in Philadelphia, you know. And I'm saying these things happen all over the world, and that's why the revolution that MOVE is talking about, number one, is for all of life. Because as long as you make any kind of allowances for enslavement and exploitation, then nobody is free. No living thing is free.
That's true.
You know, you don't believe in freedom if you make an allowance for exploitation and enslavement of any living thing, you know? And that's why the revolution MOVE is talking about is for all life, and it's universal. It's not just in Philadelphia or the United States. It's worldwide.
How is your community look at you and such society like the United States being associated with MOVE?
Well, I mean, I moved away from my neighborhood because I'm originally from New Hampshire, which is a New England state, and now I live in Philadelphia. But in regards to, you know, my people up there, the family up there I have, you know, I had a lot of problems before I came around MOVE.
Right.
I had a lot of drug abuse problems and, you know, other kinds of issues going on. And since I've been working with MOVE, you know, those problems have gone away. I can give my parents a lot more attention. You know, my relatives a lot more attention. And, and I have a lot more concern and compassion for
make
them.
Make a better person.
You know, whereas when I was younger, you know, I was just frustrated and alienated from my family, you know. And my parents feel that, you know, they pick that up and they respond to it. That's not to say that they, you know, want to become MOVE members or even MOVE supporters necessarily, but they do things to help me out, to support me in certain ways. And I think it's because they see the example. You know, they can see the real love, because, you know, under this system, I did really, you know, consider blacks to be inferior, you know, animals to be inferior, you know. And once you take away that position, that belief in inferior, superior, you know, what's better than, like, one form of life is more important than another, it clears up a lot of problems that people have.
Yes.
You know, once you commit yourself to working on that, you know, you're committing yourself to working on believing in equality, to believing in family, that all life is your family. And the system's, you know, alienation can't persist through that, you know. It can't exist at the same time as that. And my parents feel that love, you know. They feel that care that I have for them.
Tell me, I need to ask you a very important question. How people got jobs there? I mean, if you obviously marked... known as a supporter, campaigner, whatever you call it, a member.
Well, first of all, MOVE people, some of us have our own businesses. You know, two of my brothers started their own businesses. One is a home renovation business where my brother Mo Africa, you know, can do anything in the house, you know, rebuild things, tear things down, rebuild whatever. He can do all kinds of things in the house. My other brother, Mike Africa, has a landscaping business, you know, that he started. The rest of us do different things. Like, I do lectures in, like, universities and get speakers' fees. That's how I bring money in to help support us. Some of my sisters, you know, work with either my brother Mo, or they get simple jobs. They do, like, house cleaning or helping people out with things to raise money, to bring money in. So, you know, we do these kinds of things. One of my other brothers, he has a delivery service kind of thing. He's a private contractor to deliver bundles and bundles of newspapers to different places, and they distribute
them to the gas stations.
So we do different things. And one thing is that once MOVE people do a job, like if we work for somebody else, we are hard, consistent workers. We're not people that look for an excuse out of the work, try to, you know, use shortcuts to get out of
it. So you got that quality.
We're strong, you know, good workers. And those that employ MOVE people know that and value that. So, you know, they don't want to lose MOVE workers. So that helps, too.
Yeah, obviously, if you work for an office and you spend long hours and work hard,
wherever we were.
That moneymaker mentality, owner of that business.
Oh, yeah.
If you think, you know, well, that's nothing to do with me.
It made an impression in prison. Because in prison, unless you have some kind of medical clearance, they assign you a job. And all of the jobs that MOVE people had, women and men, you know, we worked hard and thoroughly. And all of the people that we worked for, you know, began to look at us different and respect us. You know, not only because of that, because of our example across the board, but I mean, that's a very old, simple ethic of hard work. Mm. And people respect that. You know, they respect that.
Wow.
So,
you mind me asking you, what's your purpose of visit to the UK?
We were invited
like
here.
Sounds like an immigration officer. Yeah.
We were invited here to do a speaking tour to inform people about the MOVE organization and Mumia Abu-Jamal, to update people, let people know where things are now. There is a supporter, a man named Mikey Christopher, who, you know, heard about MOVE a while ago, followed MOVE, and was just really insistent that we needed to come here and, you know, speak to people. And he put up the money for our trip here, for you know, our plane fare here. And he had some problems and ended up getting sectioned, and he was able to come to our program last night, but you know, he's the one that funded this and you know, really wanted us to come here. And when he did that, people that he worked with put out a call to various centers around England, and people responded and, you know, said they wanted us to come there. So that's how the tour was organized.
How are you seeing the tour is success?
It's been absolutely wonderful. People have been so receptive and have taken such good care of us. It's been wonderful. This is actually the third time I've been to England.
How long are you staying this time?
It was a two-week stay. We arrived on the 20th, a week ago, Wednesday, and we're leaving next Wednesday on the 4th.
Next Wednesday, the 4th.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying your visit?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The people have been wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Surely after each session of speaking to the public, you'll have people asking questions.
Yeah.
What's the most, you think, important question you received from the
public? Important question?
Yes.
Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, apart from who are you and, you know.
I think one of the most important questions that people ask, the one that they really want an answer to, is after all, you know, you have been through, how do you keep going? How do you stay strong? How do you, you know, keep doing what you're doing? I think that is one of the most important questions, not only to us, but to people. You know, they just, they want to know, how do you keep going, you know?
Now, if I ask you the same question, knowing that, obviously, I know, obviously, I lived years and years in the States, knowing the particular system and how discrimination against, you know, black people, colored people in general, and knowing how difficult for you to survive, how you survive all these years?
Through the teaching of MOVE's founder, John Africa, which teaches us clearly that really you have no option. I mean, when this government dropped the bomb on me and my family, you know, tried to burn me alive, murdered our babies, burned innocent babies alive, I mean, that is just unconscionable, and there is no justification for it. So when you understand that, rather than feel like you should throw your hands up and say, well, you know, that's it, this is just too much, I mean, that's the end, we can't do anything, blah, 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 the attitude of MOVE people is that is more motivation than ever to keep fighting. Because any system that can do something as horrific as that is to be fought, you know, is to be stopped. And, you know, if they are that atrocious, that vicious, then you can be killed at any time. And if I'm going to be killed at any time, I'm going down fighting, you know.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to keep fighting.
Yes.
It would make no sense to MOVE people to go back to the very people that could do something like that. And that's what you would be doing if you threw your hands up and just
otherwise no point to start.
Yeah.
From day one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same about the way the public respond to your tour?
Well, for me, I know that, you know, when I first heard about the MOVE organization's history and what the United States government had done to MOVE, you know, I was just completely appalled at what had happened to MOVE, and I couldn't stand behind that. I couldn't tolerate that, you know, not and have a clear conscience and feel like and have respect for myself. I may not be your average, you know, young white man in that regard, but, you know, I couldn't turn a deaf ear to what happened to MOVE.
Right.
And that decision that I made to stand up against that and to take a stand against that has carried me to this day. I mean, also, you know, the support of, you know, and the encouragement that I've seen from just this fantastic reception that we have when we go around speaking, you know, people are inspired by, you know, Ramona and the story of the MOVE organization, and you know, they're really heroes for people in that regard, and you know, so it just constantly the teachings of John Africa and MOVE's, you know, MOVE's history and the struggle that MOVE wages is a constant motivation, you know, to keep fighting. Because, yeah, at any time, a lot of times I feel pressure to go back and, you know, try to get a career and stuff like that. But what good is that if you're not free? You know?
Yes,
what use is that? What use is that if you're constantly under threat? You know? If the only reason you do it is because you feel intimidated or because you feel like, you know, society is going to come down on you if you don't, you know?
Sorry, I've been long because I really am very excited about the interview. I have to say, I'm being honest with you, not because of you sitting here. I've been doing this for about 6 months every week. I spend an hour talking to somebody, mm-hmm. Either MP, counselor, head of the education department, head teacher, and name it, people who supposedly providing service mm-hmm. to the public. And the reason we invite them in is for a completely different reason why I really happy to see you here. We invite them in because we know there is shortage of everything, you know, the careless people complaining about service, you know, so we invite them in to ask the public to call them and to question them about all these issues. And last week, the week before, we have Ross with us talking about the public bath. I'm sure you're aware of the one of the most important facility for children mm-hmm. and adults. But I started saying children because the problem with the child obesity all over the world, there is a threat, chances to close it down. And so I have Ross been my guest 2 weeks ago, you know. And one thing I noticed, nobody called because people listen and say, well, he's defending something very important to us. Well, what are you going to call to say to him, you know, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. But weeks before that, we have counselors. You know, people call and say, why is this not happening and why is not happening? Because they know this service is not be really. Mm-hmm. But the reason I am saying that, because you may be the first two guests to unique to the program, mm-hmm. because you talk about something a lot of us in this country not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And before I end this interview, I want to ask you, if somebody want to know more about the MOVE, especially as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, we have a school, a college next door. We want people to be aware of what's going around us, not only in UK, mm-hmm. you know, worldwide. And how people get more information?
Okay. Well, I will definitely leave you a card that has all of our information on it.
Right.
But for those out there in your listening audience, people can contact us by email at On a Move, that's onamovellja at AOL.com. We have a website which is www.onamove, that's onamove.com. So people can contact us or get more information those two ways. And like I said, I will leave you our card that has our mailing address on it and phone number if anybody wants it.
last word you want to say to us?
That people should never, ever, ever feel like you can't win, that the system is too big, that there's no point in fighting. That is exactly what those running the system want people to think. But for real, the power is truly within the people, not those handful of people that literally run the world. They rely on us, the masses of people. We're the ones that can really turn this thing around. So don't ever feel like there's nothing that we can do, that you know, we can never win. That is what the system wants people to think, and it is absolutely not true. So stand up for what is right. Do what you know is right, and don't accept anything less than what is right.
Thank you. What about you? Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
And I hope you'll have a good time in UK. Thanks very much.